The current spoiler warning level is crimson.
Friends and folks, for this episode, you're looking at a spoiler warning level of crimson. We're talking about a couple of machines from Gundam Age, specifically Season 1, I believe, and also none of them very plot important. However, it is a show that the Great Gundam Project has yet to reach, and thus it is crimson. Please enjoy the episode. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Mechanista NG. We're just going to resume the conversation we were having before we hit record. I'm Six Detmar.
And I'm Dylan. We were talking about the Mahjong Soul event. And I played it in a... So, the event game mode, which I played in a very sleepy stupor last night before I fell asleep. From what I remember, it's... You have... Richi are now worth 2 Yaku, and double Richi are 3.
Okay.
And when you call Richi, you do 5 draws in a row. unless during one of your draws someone calls, you know, the tiles that you, you know, someone calls Chi or Pun, then it will move on. But you have this little meter that starts at 6 and it goes down and eventually says weak. I'm assuming that's a Blue Archive related thing, given that this is for the Blue Archive event. But yeah, basically it just feels like a very aggro game mode where you want to try to get a Richi hand ASAP because, you know, they are worth more. And also, I mean, you draw 5 in a row, which is, you know.
Do you still get Ipatsu from them, or does it have to be the first one?
You do get Ipatsu from them, actually.
Wow, that's...
Yeah, from okay. Any of the subsequent draws. Now, if they call on, you know, a tile, or you've run out of draws and it starts going around the table like normal, I think you don't get Ipatsu. I think it's... But for all the draws of your super-powered Richi there, you do. It's a very goofy game mode, but I have fun sometimes playing the weird modes. Anyway, that's all. We were talking about that, though, and Six is like, oh, wait, remembering that we have a podcast, and we could just do whatever we want for, like, 5 minutes, because it's not like we usually get to the mechs for a couple minutes anyway. Which,
you know. There are no Mahjong robots that I'm aware of.
Well, there's a Getter spinoff that's all about Mahjong. It is,
really?
Something that I don't think we would ever cover. From what I know, it's excessively horny, because it's like, what if the Getter pilots were girls and also played Mahjong? And, it's weird. But, yeah. I think there are robots in it. Let's see. Yes, it's called Getter Robo High.
Oh, fuck. I'm not screen recording at all. Give me a second, folks. For a while here, you'll just... Video folks will have just been staring at, I assume, just, you know, the Mechanista NG, you know, fucking album art.
Oh, you weren't... Oh, I didn't notice you weren't on the Jamboard. Whoops.
I forgot to hit record on OBS and everything. There we go.
All right.
But, you know, no lost audio the way we do it these days, so that's good.
From the Getter Robo Wiki, the series follows a team of 3 Mahjong players who utilize the features of Getter Robo franchise's elements as part of a game of Mahjong.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's allowed.
I do know the actual mecha designs are cool from it. Like, you can see one version of the Black Getter here.
Huh.
I think the Getters are kind of fun, though. It's just, I don't know anything about it. I don't think it's been translated.
All right. Fair enough.
But, yeah. I know that there was a big deal made about it because it was in the one Super Robot Wars. It was in one of the mobile games that no one gives a shit about, but people always make a big deal about when something appears for the first time, even in those. So I remember people being like going nuts about the Zoo Ranger / the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers mecha being in it and stuff. And I'm like, they're not going to put a Sentai thing in a mainline Super Robot Wars, though. They're just, I don't think it works. At least I don't think they would, but maybe they would. I don't know. Anyway. All right.
Anyway.
I think this week's a request week, right? Because we did normal last week.
This is request week. However, we're I'm sorry to say, I don't think we're going to do a request. The requests that we have left are... Let me put it this way. There's not... I think there is one thing from Gundam left on it.
Uh-huh.
Which is not... To be clear, folks, not a problem. Mm-hmm. The issue is I need to do a bunch of prep work because the nice thing about Gundam is there's, like, reference material we can easily check. And every request that's left pretty much is, like, stuff that would be... would require some prep work for us to do an episode together, source material, because there are a bunch of unusual requests.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that'll happen over time. But, all right, then we'll do a normal episode.
I will... Gosh, I wish I could promise for next... Certainly, by 2 weeks from now, I will have done the work. I want to say next week, and I will try to have it ready for next week. I do know, however, that with my work schedule, next week is going to fucking suck. So it's hard for me to lock that in for sure.
Yeah.
But I will work on getting prep for y'all's requests. I'm eager to do y'all's requests. It's just you have tricky ones that are, yeah, there's reference material is not easily accessed.
I try not to look at them because people put weird things on there and like me being surprised by them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I don't even know what they could be. But yeah. All right. Well.
Okay.
Let's roll.
Let's just let's do the fun way. Let's bust out the really loud die. Let's roll the D100. Just throw a golf ball at my desk.
Does the D100 stop decently at all, or does it roll a lot?
I mean, it rolls quite a bit. Like, it stops when it stops, right? It's not that it won't stop, but it does. The sides are gentle.
The reason I ask, so. Right, is, I mean, I have a smaller desk. You, I think, have a slightly larger desk than mine.
Like medium size.
Yeah, I have a pretty small desk. So I have to imagine if I threw, like, a D100 and it rolled, it would just fall off my desk from most angles or run into something at most angles.
It does run into something. That's often how it stops.
Ah, okay.
And I find that acceptable.
That's fair. Okay. See, my problem is I have a bunch of models on my desk and I don't want to bowl them over.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I've got my high-grade Plutone, I've got the Gadram, I've got the Skulma, I have the Gaydry, I have the Halex 10 from Pat Labor, I have the Alexander from Code Geass Akito the Exiled on my desk, and I have a tiny Woundwort on my desk, one of the Gashapon toys.
Okay. This one will probably be a quick episode, I think. I mean, it's not something I'm familiar with, but...
Okay, what is it?
CMS-328.
CMS-328? What series? Is this a... My gut is IBO. This sounds like the thing that would be, like, one of the, mobile workers.
Since we've got the jam board, we can do a fun version of this, where I just give you a snippet of a limb.
Uh-huh.
And see if you can get it from that.
Okay.
Anything for that?
Is that an arm or a leg?
Okay, well, it sounds like we need a bigger snippet.
Okay. Okay, that's a leg. That's a weird leg. What? Hold on.
It'd be really fun. I'm not doing this, but it'd be really funny if this was just a Kamen Rider and I was fucking with you.
I was gonna say this looks like a person leg, right? This looks doesn't it does. Look very mecha-y. Oh, but if that's where the foot is, then that can't be the knee. See, I thought that little trapezoid was the knee, maybe. Mm-hmm. But that's not a knee, because if you're looking at that, see, I thought it was zoomed, like, out more. But that's, no, that's, like, the bottom of a leg. The fuck is that?
It's next image time. Okay. The crop will get bigger every time until you get it.
Okay, so that's definitely a mobile suit of some sort. Because that's a Gundam hand. I'm pretty sure. That's like, you know, or, you know, mobile suit hand. That is your standard manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
For our first time doing this, this is a hard one.
Yeah, I... Huh. Huh. I need more. I'm sorry. I need more.
No. Just, you know.
Stripes. Oh, stripes. Oh! Mmm. Ah, fuck.
You don't have to have the name. If you think you have it, like, generally speaking, I'll give it to you.
Well, it's funny, because I said mobile worker earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this that weird construction thing from Gundam Age?
This is the Construction Mobile Standard 328 Desperado.
Okay.
Good work.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, Desperado. How did I forget that? I should have remembered that. Well, I mean, yeah, but look.
He's a friend.
Yeah, this is a weird one. This is actually... So a lot of Aegis designs are by Ebikawa. This one is... it looks like a Terioka design. I'm pretty sure it is. AKA the guy who did the heads and the Tiran in 00. Yes, Kenji Terioka, who also did do the mobile workers in IBO, but there's a point where he works less and less on mecha and focuses more on like vehicles. Because you can tell with his mecha throughout the series, like, you know, he makes very tank-like or weird mecha, you know? Interesting. Okay, yeah. So, the Desperado, this is an industrial mobile suit from Gundam Age. This is used... Oh, I can't even remember the episodes where it's used, if I'm being honest. I know it's on the colonies that have the fake Zakus and, the other things. Because there's, like, the Zilla and the Gala, which are very obviously fake Zakus. I don't... The enemies don't really... Or the... Not the enemies. The opposing force in that, has, like, their own set of mobile suits that are different. Yes, the Almeta and the Xeno. Okay, yeah, those are also mono eyes. They're weird. But yeah, so... I don't remember anything about the points in which this is used, but this is also... The Desperado is like a one-episode wonder anyway, so it doesn't really matter that I don't remember a lot.
Wow, alright.
Well, I just mean it doesn't show up for a lot of the show. It shows up during, like... There's like a small colony... There's, like, an inter-colony, like, factional war, if I remember right. There's, like, these two sides that, that are against each other. And and Flit wants to stop them and get them to help work with, like, the Earth Federation against, you know, the unknown enemies, the UE. Because, you know, they're too busy. They're busy having their own conflicts, basically. So, yeah. Basically, I think, if I remember right, specifically, it's that, like, the colonies that are fighting are ones that are, like, their own autonomous nations, is the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So they both, like, declare their autonomy, and then they went to war with one another. Anyway, the Desperado, though, is, a weird thing. So it's a construction suit, right? If you're doing work on a colony, this is a colony work mobile suit. And yeah, so I guess to describe it, the head is very simple. It's basically a cylinder wearing a hard hat, or what appears to be a hard hat. You know, it looks like the way it's designed. This is just part of the way the head is shaped, but it's supposed to look like a worker's hard hat. It's in all yellow, but it does have a red stripe going around the base of the hard hat. It also has a simple screen face. Yes, it's very Metar-ish. But yeah, it has like a blue screen face that is like a hexagon, but the two side points are like kind of stretched out. For the torso, you've got a brick of a torso.
It does look very Tyrion-y.
Yeah, so it's a big polygonal, like lots of flat surfaces on the torso. You've got a big block in the middle, which I believe is the cockpit block. Like I think that like pops open. You've got mostly a flat face on the front, though. It does have like the top of it does protrude a little bit, and it goes inward a little bit, but honestly it's mostly flat. Very flat sides, though it does have these big cylindrical like extrusions that are hollow that the arms plug into on these sides of the torso. These also have these two little the cylindrical protrusions have like a little block on top of either side, like a rectangular block that I believe are
lights.
Is that
like a little light?
Yeah, I think these are like supposed to be lights for you know, lighting up an area if it's working at night or in the dark or in a tunnel or whatever. Does have these like little indentations on the bottoms of the side the flat sides of the torso. And then on the back, you've got two little square or rectangular indentations on the top, and then you also have a little latch, presumably for mounting, like, a tool. We do see the shovel latched on the back at several points. So it's just, like, a little hard point. Then the lower part of the torso, before you actually hit the waist, like, the lower crotch area, it seems like it has, like, a diesel engine, is what I think of, because it's a grayish, rounder block with a pipe sticking out of the left side of it. And the pipe
it has like
going
an exhaust.
Back. And yeah, it's like an exhaust pipe. So my brain just sees this, and it looks like it would be like powered by more normal fuel or something, right? Rather than like a special generator, just because it has
I mean, you wouldn't want to put a, you wouldn't put a nuclear reactor in something that just normal people are using to dig.
Yeah.
So.
Then, for the arms, the shoulder part has an interesting design. You've got...
Oh, actually, we have detail on this. It's a hydrogen engine.
Oh, it does have a hydrogen engine. Okay, huh.
Go figure.
But, yeah, the way that the base of the shoulder... So, the shoulder is very circular. However, it does have a separation. Like, the part that is connecting into the arm, you know, it's got, like, a circular bulb-esque... like shoulder, but the part that's sticking out of the arm, it's a little bigger at the base, and then it looks like it would have like the actual arms, like the top of the arm there is like also a bulb that is fit into that, right? Like looks like it would be able to rotate within that. Just an interesting shoulder shape there. Has a rotational like cut at the bottom of the bulb at the top of the arm, and then you've got like the what would traditionally be the bicep of a mobile suit, and it's just this, it's a very simple cylinder, double joint going on. You know, it's got the wedge that is both joints. And then for the forearm, a longer cylinder, and it's got these red stripes along the wrist. It's got a small protrusion, like, for the wrist, which is kind of interesting, like this little gray block where the hand is attached.
It looks like it's another double joint, right?
Yeah, probably for the hand to be able to move, like, all the way up and down, and also, you know, move the hand a little bit more. But, yeah, so very simple arm shape going on here. The crotch section is just a square block, basically. Technically, it has a bit more rounding at the bottom of it, so it's not just a cube or a square, but very.
But it's
simple.
Very much like the waist piece you built a million times in Gunpla, if you build Gunpla.
Yeah, it's a wedge, but with no skirts, no frills, nothing. Other than it does have a rear skirt, but no side skirts, no front skirt, just a big wedge for the crotch piece. Does have a
which honestly feels unwise. Like, I feel like, given its job, you would want something to shield from, like, debris flying when you strike something with your shovel or pickaxe.
True. Though it does, I think the implication of, like, some of the designs here are that the joints are still, are, like, that the internals are mostly covered. Like, look at the thighs here, how big the armor is on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So the rear skirt is just a single plate. It's got some square indentations. You've got these cylindrical, like, joints that the legs connect into the waist from that are just like these very plain gray ones. The thighs, very round, have an interesting shape to them. They have a little bit of panel lining going around the top and either side, but like not really any indication of any other detail there, right? Like very simple.
Mm-hmm.
You do have a visible leg double joint that is mostly visible from the sides and back. And then the lower leg, very simple leg. Actually, looking at the leg shape, you know what it reminds me of is kind of reminds me of the Tall Geese's shape, right? Where it has like a very like,
yeah,
it's got a very realistic calf shape, right? Like the way that the way it goes into the legs there, it's very like boot like.
Yeah, very like riding boots kind of look.
Then you have this like little cut in the front of the bottom of the calf that is visible, a little like partial trapezoid there. It's just like basically a little bit of detail. I'm presuming it's just a line demarcating where it like thins out on the front. Though some of the custom models made by the magazines of the time do make these into full on like vents.
Mm.
Then for the feet, you've got like a double disc going on for where the feet are connected into, probably, you know, to show off how much ankle pivot it would have. And then a very simple feet. You've got like the foot is divided into three sections. You've got a midsection, you've got a front toe, and you've got a rear heel. There's not a lot of detail on it, really. It's just, they're very shaped like shoes.
The internals, you would assume, are very, like, IBO feet, but then the exteriors, they look like clogs, basically.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so it does have some armaments that aren't really armaments. It has a huge shovel, which is a large shovel that can superheat the tip of it. The shovel's a weird design because it's mostly just a shovel, but then it has, like, this weird little, is that, like, a secondary handle?
Well, I mean, I can imagine, like, with real shovels, there are times where you need a lot of force, and so you put your second hand near the blade part.
Yeah.
When you're swinging it, so maybe
or
it's
maybe
for
even,
that.
Or for the foot even to push into.
Oh, that also makes sense.
And then you also have the heat pickaxe. And the heat pickaxe is interesting because it's actually on the same handle as the shovel. It just has a different head. Instead of you can see in one of the screen caps.
I'm posting it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know. Yeah. It's just they swap the head for a pickaxe. It's very much, it's a fancy shape for a pickaxe, actually. It's not as simple as the shovel. It's, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's got more of a, like a hooked beak at the front of it, just with the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, it borrows a machine gun from the Zilla, which we would talk about in a Zilla episode, if we ever talked about it.
I unfortunately can't find a screenshot of that.
Let's see.
I did find fan art that would make Dylan angry, but in a rare moment.
I have a picture because I have I have a picture of the Zilla holding it.
Okay.
Here.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's not fun, but okay.
I mean, it gets the point across. That's the machine gun it holds.
Mm-hmm.
Can't tell if that's based on a real one or not. I don't think so. I like the weird drum mag on the bottom.
I mean, not specifically, I would say. I think you can, like, with the combination of that circular drum positioned like that and the way that, especially I would say the, like, angled forward hand grip, it's clearly mimicking the Thompson.
Yeah, Tommy gun.
But I don't think it is, like, the overall design is that similar. It's just like, oh, okay, I see what inspired you, but you're not just trying to make a Tommy gun, so that's fine, yeah. Whatever.
The Desperado, though, it's one that people wish had a model for the longest time. People love this thing.
It's a cool design.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, no, it is an interesting design. It's very simple, but I mean, it's a worker suit, and that feels appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while the fan art makes me annoyed, there's a lot of fan art of this thing doing cool stuff because people thought the design was, I mean, look at it, you know, look at the damn thing.
It's fun. Yeah. It's fun.
But yeah, so doesn't make a lot of appearances. It does appear in the Age video game, and it sometimes appears. It was like a striker in Gundam Versus, but doesn't really do very much. Doesn't really do a lot. I mean, it has a shuffle and a pickaxe, and at one point it steals a machine gun.
But that means it can steal anything, right? We need to have this, you know, doing like lightsaber lighter tricks.
God.
Lightsaber, god damn it. Beam saber.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
Fuck.
To be fair, I thought you were just saying that to be ridiculous. So yeah, there are variants of this machine, surprisingly. There's a recolor variant from the video game, so we'll just show that off really quick. It is the Desperado Seg, which is just a brown and yellow variant. So, like, the main color of the body is brown, and then the red stripes have become yellow. It does also have one other difference, which is the torso block is, like, a tannish color, and then the little lights are blue that are on the top of the arm things. This is just a Desperado with better stats, because the game, like, I mean, it's a video game where you customize your robot, and a recolor is an easy addition to the cast, you know?
Do you think it helps them stay awake, because it has blue lights, and blue lights, you know?
Don't blue lights make you sleepy?
No, it's the opposite. It's why you want to filter blue lights out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's because they, yeah, they... My understanding of the science is it is like the light that reflects off the sky, which tells your brain it's daytime and you should not go to sleep.
Oh, that makes sense. See, too much blue light gives me headaches, so I have always, as long as I've owned a computer, I've had flux, and also on my phone I have a thing for that. So, like, I've never not had a filter on. It's actually very funny, because sometimes, I'm so used to seeing things with the filter that sometimes, like, I've had people come up to watch something in my room, and they're like, wait a minute. And I just, my brain filters out the filter, for the most part. Because I just, you know, I mean, I don't put it on, like, a high setting. It's not like the light coming from my computer is orange. But, you know, I also do that on my 3DS, because that's one of the benefits of custom firmware.
I just don't really have a problem with sleeping ever. And also, I don't get the headache, so I don't need to do it. I can be staring at a blue screen at, you know, 11:59 and be unconscious by 12:01.
Yeah. So there is also another mobile suit that is technically what the Desperado comes from, which is another Work MS. It does not have a model number. It is the Vandera. The Vandera is an MS used for work and security for the Midorna Workshop factory ship. The Midorna Workshop it's an MS workshop, you know. But yeah, so it doesn't really, they make a lot of like the weirder mobile suits you see. Like, they made both the Zilla and the Xeno, which are used by the warring nations. They make the Earth Federation's Genoese, the GXS and all that. But yeah, so this is just, it's a security robot. It looks like a security robot. I mean, it's piloted, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, it has a blue squared head that has, like, almost what appear to be, like, little eyes on the sides, right? Like, these little, I mean, you know, it is likely a camera, but they're just, like, these two little circular lights on either side. The middle of the face is actually, like, if you rotated the visor from the, Desperado 90 degrees.
It's more squared off than that.
Yeah, it's a little more square. It's not as hexagonal, but it's similar kind of vibe. But yeah, it's a more vertically aligned rather than horizontally aligned. Very goofy head here. This is a very, like, this feels like a very, like, I don't know, 50s or 60s sci-fi pulp robot head, right? Like a little robot's head.
Sure.
Not a mecha head. The torso, a lot more, like, humanoid and less boxy than the Desperado, so it's got, either pectoral, is like this, you know, it's got the protruding towards the front shape. It's got a very, like, standard Gundam chest, I guess I would say, like, in terms of its layout, right, with having these, like, pectorals that stick out a bit more. The middle is dipped in a bit more than usual, I believe then it has like a hatch with a vertical line down the middle. It's funny because we have a picture of some people working on this, but we actually don't get a good look of what the hatch looks like open. But yeah, and then the middle of the chest is like a little, or you know, where it connects into the waist is like a little black circular piece. Very simple in design. No backpack on this guy, much like the Desperado. Just has some flat plates on the back. The arms, little fancier than the Desperados. You have like shoulder armor that has, like some panel lining detail on the top of it. It's got a little bit of a dip in the armor on the top as well. The biceps are white, has the same wedge double joint. And then the,
kind of a soft blue, really.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Then the, lower arm though, just a big blue pill, same shape as the Desperados, same kind of hands as well with the same, joint for the hand, very simplistic waist, no rear skirt on this friend, or at least I think it has a smaller rear skirt because you can't really see it from the front. We have a rear art of it. Let me, take a screen cap of it because the wiki doesn't actually have it, but it has like a smaller rear skirt plate there than the other one. The legs are just one-to-one, the Desperado legs, but in blue though. But yeah, it's just a cute little security robot. I really like, this is from the Exalog series, which was a series in, is it Hobby Japan or Dengeki? It's one of the magazines. And Exalog, featured a lot of models of these things being made. I really love the way the head looks here, like the way they did the lights and stuff. Because this,
oh, that does look cool.
I mean, this goes with my feelings of, oh, this is like a 50s robot or a suit robot, maybe like a, you know, like a goofy Ultraman robot, right? Like if you've seen King Joe from Ultraman and stuff. I don't know. It's a cute little guy. But yeah, that would basically be it. Also funny, this one doesn't appear in the video game at all. Which is just interesting given that the game, like when the game was made, usually the game
and how desperate the game was for things to put in.
Yeah. Right. Well in the game, you know, the game mostly has everything from the show, just missing a couple of weird specific things where it's just like, huh, I'm surprised it's not in here.
Dylan has certain feelings about the sanctity of the Jamboard, which I will respect in this instance, and I will just DM Dylan something they don't want to see.
What? I saw the Volnut.
Oh, interesting. There he goes. It's an MS girl.
All right. Technically speaking, I guess there's one more thing we could throw into this in a weird way.
Okay.
In Exalog and one of the earlier episodes, actually, there, and we only see a very little bit of this suit. There is a mobile suit made by Midorna, it's still made by Midorna Workshop, that is also a worker mobile suit. It is called the 3D. And here, I'm linking you directly so we can get this. And it's not really, I mean, it's related to the
Oh, look at this pal.
It's related to the Genoace, but honestly, so is the Desperado. So fuck it. We may as well just talk about the worker guys here. I love this little guy.
This is great.
Yeah. So I'm going to also post the picture from Exalog just because it shows the screen cap where we barely see this mobile suit, which is very funny to me. Like, this was not drawn fully for the episode, basically. Actually, you know what? I have an idea that's using this image. Sorry to get rid of that, but this will actually be helpful, I think. Here. Because I can do the front and back section there like that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And then we could zoom in on here where we see it barely visible in the back, just hanging out with some suits.
Now this homie looks like a 30-minute mission.
Yeah, this is a more complex design than the other ones, surprisingly, right? I am pretty sure, let me double check, but I'm pretty sure this is still by Terioka, but let me double check. No, this is Ebikawa, actually. Okay, never mind. Well, that explains the 30-minute missions, look, because Ebikawa has worked on a lot of these. Also explains why it's so much more detailed, actually. I just didn't know if the name made it, so, you know, maybe he made it a bit fancier here. Nope. So the head is a GN drive, not actually, but it fucking looks like it. The head is like a point, right? It's a conical point that has four cameras located radially around it. It has one on the front, one on either side, and one on the back. The lower half of the head is, it does have a screen face designed to be very similar to, like, the Genoese's screen face. You know, or any of the, it's a gym, right? It's doing a gym thing, with the screen face. Not a lot of other detail in the face other than some little tick marks on either the bottom of, the visor. You can see these little tick marks coming out at angles, or just, like, little details on the back of the head there. For the torso, we've got a, oh, this is a weirdly segmented torso. So you've got a, the upper body is, has a tall collar going around the neck, and it has this, like, very rounded armor, like, around the top of it in general, right? Like, if you, especially if you're looking at it from the back, like, it's like a very simplistic rounded plate. It has some extra armoring on the front of the chest, it looks like, because it's got, like, this big door, and then, like, a little bit of, like, armor
it's like
on
half,
either
it's
side.
It's kind of like a, like, just a single, like, breastplate, like, in armor, like, even, like, in, like, medieval armor terms, you know, where they just have the one plate over clothing.
And the lower part of the upper torso, which is weird to say, but this, the way this torso is segmented, it has a lot of segments, is just like another cylindrical piece that kind of matches the top, but without the just without the collar there.
Well, and it's kind of interesting because if you look at the back, it kind of reveals that the core design of this is like two cylinders plugging into each other in a T shape with just armor curling around it.
Yeah, and the no backpack also on this one as well. It's just got like, I presume little maneuvering verniers maybe on the back. Might not even be that, though, because this is a construction suit. So these might be bolts to hold that armor on, you know. It has a... Then it has, like, for the middle section of the torso, you've got, like, another, you know, you mentioned, like, the T-shaped joint. You just have that inner joint there, right? Like, just like a circular inner piece. And then you have one more row of armor, which would normally be what I call the waist, but it's so high up. So it's like the crotch has been raised, right? And you've got like a sort of T-shaped bit of armor on the front with some round, it's but with like rounded edges. The side skirts, it's all rounded. The rear area, it's all rounded. And the bottom of the side skirts has like a like these little lines on the bottom just for detail. And that's like, so it's like the torso is just really long on this guy. Then you've got visible arm joints. The arm joints have an interesting thing going on where they have these, like, it has these covers. You can actually see them on the top middle, right? Like, you see that, like, arrangement of, covers there. And I don't know if that's just to protect the joint. I'm presuming it is. It's just, like, an array of, like, you know what it reminds me of is, like, lacquered armor, right? Like,
Sure.
Well, it's just, I don't know what else to call this, you know? It's just like a weird little section of armor that is over that joint.
I'm trying to think, because I feel like it reminds me of a style of, like, of Roman armor?
Oh, yeah, yeah, ooh.
Because there's a style that is like this, where it is these, like...
Like the...
You know, like...
Multiple plates over one another.
Right. Right, it's, like, very, like... I'm getting the Lorica segmentata, which is not what I'm thinking of.
Is it lamellar? For...
Maybe? Can you post it?
Yeah, hold on. Here, like, just looked up lamellar armor. Like this. I'm posting it in Jamboard. Like that, right?
Yes, that is the one I'm thinking of, especially that right example.
Yeah, it is. Right, because it even has the little bolts. It's just, like, weird, right? It's, like, this, like, segmented, like, armor. And it's just, it's only thrown... The rest of the armor on this does not resemble that. It's only over the joint, which is interesting.
You know the other thing those pieces resemble?
What?
Let me get a good pick here for this. float in, please. Look like they look like the keys on a xylophone.
Yeah, they do.
It's just kind of funny.
It's just it's a very interesting design choice. The shoulders are cylindrical. It actually has the way these shoulders are designed, it actually has, like, if you look at the above the bicep, it's actually got, like, rotation there, right? Like, the whole shoulder doesn't rotate, but instead of the whole shoulder rotating, you've got, like, the arm moves back and forth on that disc in there, it looks like.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, a simple cube bicep, a double joint. I do think it's very funny that Ebikawa also draws the joints here like he does on the 00 Gundams, like, where they have that little, like, where he makes it visible, the double joint on the bottom part there, like, the little square indicating that. And then the lower arms, it's very simple armor, very squared, does have the wrist is kind of inlaid into the armor in a weird way. The armor extends a little bit, on the back of the arm over the, wrist area. And then the hands, basic hands. For the waist now, the actual waist, you've got a crotch plate on the front, which is very simple, just an armor plate on the front, and then it looks like the rest of it is just, like, rounded and going to the back. The legs are connected into the sides, as expected. Really interesting leg shape here, because these legs also look like they're trying to look like the Desperado legs, maybe, or like the, it's got that same kind of feel, right, where it's mostly just armored on the front, very bare of detail, and then the joint is visible from the sides and the back, and it's got, like, double-jointed legs.
I mean, it feels like a different, like, in-universe designer, but building for the same problem,
yeah,
as it were, the same environment.
And then where it gets really weird is this has digitigrade legs, because it stands on its toes, in a weird way. So, like, the calf has, like, normal calf armor, but then where the foot would be connected into, you instead have the foot just protruding down at an angle, and then the foot has, like, a bit of heel armor built into the base of it, and then it's got, like, two little, like, heels that are popped down on the back of it. It's a very weird leg shape. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's really cool.
But yeah, this is a very strange looking machine. I really like it. It's a little sad that it only appears apparently in the fucking background of an episode for a little bit.
I'm really curious because this, you know, this art here shows that this, you know, like, pointed dome hat is indeed a hat. There's a head under there.
Yeah.
So what is this for? Are these, like, little verniers?
What? Oh, the four little things are also cameras, because you can see he even labels.
Oh.
He does label the main camera, so it has a camera on the front, back, and sides, yeah.
I'm not trying to throw too much shade at my friend. I know how it is. His writing is not super legible.
Yeah, you can see it says main camera, though. You can read that there, right? Like, right here. Main camera.
It just looks like a scribble. The other ones are more legible, but that one,
yeah,
looks
like
a mess to me.
Gomu ka... Ironically, I'm having a harder time reading that one. I see Gomu ka... Is it Gomu cover? Is Gomu trash?
Well, that'd be Gomi.
Oh, no, Gomi is trash. Oh, Gomu is rubber. Oh, rubber are a rubber cover. Oh, those are rubber.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, okay, Gomu. For some reason, I was like, wait. All right. Also, apparently the waist area right here, like the midsection, is also rubber, because it says Gomu cover there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ebikawa's writing isn't the clearest here. Ironically, the one that you had a hard time reading is the one I can read best. It's fine. That's normal. Here, I'm also going to just put the model. The model is colored like it is in the episode. So I'm thinking this is a design that he made for it that I don't know if he fully intended it for to be in the show, because it doesn't even have sete, right? It just has...
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's very clearly, like, production art rather than full sete for the animators. And it's not colored at all. So, Yeah.
And especially the way it's used, it's very easy to imagine someone being like, oh, we could put another robot in this. Oh, that design was cool. Let's just throw it in here. Mm-hmm. You know?
I'll say I think it looks better in the white than in the green, personally.
Agreed, agreed.
But I think he did it in the white just to show the detail, probably, because, I mean, Ebikawa does that with a couple of his designs. Like, if they have a lot of outer detail, he'll do the base design in white in order to... Mm. Do that. I just realized something. Sorry, I'm reading the little bio for the model that was made for the magazine here. And they apparently used parts of the Nobel Gundam, weirdly. And I'm curious what they used. Apparently the arms specifically.
That was gonna be my guess, but
I didn't even notice that. Okay, let me hold on, I'm posting it again. Cause now I'm looking. Oh yeah, I guess it does have very Nobel-esque arms. You can kind of tell if you look at, like, the joint and the back of the arms that it's not quite the exact same arms. But, mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, you're making a kitbash for a modeling magazine, so. Just kind of funny, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah, so that would be our episode on all these, like, weird mobile workers, I guess, from, Gundam Age. You know, I'm glad I threw the 3D in there, because we never would have covered that. We wouldn't put it on the list, right? It's not notable enough.
Yeah.
At least
I mean, we might have done it when we do the Genoa, so there might have been a what's this?
Oh, but, yeah, but still, it's I feel like getting all the I think there's a good theming to this episode with all these guys, though, these little worker guys.
You know, I haven't seen Age yet, right?
Uh-huh.
I've so far have been surprised how, like, I think I often don't like the Vegan designs that much. There are some good ones, but I think a lot of them that just doesn't appeal to me as much.
Uh-huh.
But in general, I'm surprised how good I think the designs are.
I think Asia's designs are great. I mean, it's all the 00 people back again, you know, and the sure. Vegan designs are then are just Junya Ishigaki doing his Ishigaki thing, you know. I tend to like the Vegan designs more than you, but I mean, like, I think Age's design sense is actually pretty good, especially when you're seeing, like, the side material stuff, because, like, you know, Ebikawa unfettered or Ishigaki unfettered by animation, just, they do good work. The problem is just the show was bad enough that a lot of people don't like these. I mean, this is the issue, though, right? This is kind of... I have a lot of conversations with friend of the show, or a couple friends of the show, actually, but, you know, like, with Jackson about, like, mecha design from GGP. And Jackson is not really a mecha person. They watch the shows, and they will, like or dislike a design based on what they see in the show. Which is fairly normal to do. It's just funny, because I am, like, very pilled in the opposite way. My brain, I see a design and my imagination runs wild with, like, oh, maybe it could do this, or I can imagine it doing this. And so I just, if the show is bad, it doesn't really affect my opinions of a design very much. Now, it's a weird, because sometimes liking a show or liking a thing can make me appreciate a design more, but it usually doesn't go the opposite way. You know, when we've shit-talked some of these seed designs, I don't like those designs even if the animation wasn't, like, was better, right? Like, things like, I just find a lot of them boring. Then again, though, there's been ones we've talked about from Even Seed where I'm like, oh, but I really like the model kit version of this, or I really like, you know, I like this unit after I played it in a video game or whatever. It's just, I don't know, it's weird. It's just, like, for me, my opinion of a robot generally can only go up. It's hard to make it go down. I usually just base my judgment on what it looks like immediately.
I think the issue for me is just, like, my main exposure is, like, I don't like the Age 1, right? Uh-huh. The Age 2 and 3 I actually think are pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then, like, but my exposure to the Age 2 and the Age 3 and... mostly the Age 1, honestly, are, like, from, like, Gundam Breaker games, where those parts often don't look good with other parts. And so I'm like, ah, this must suck.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. There's just a lot of ways to take this. I just find it interesting, because, like, it's something that's weird to talk about, especially with someone, like, who's very normal-brained about mecha sometimes. Because, like, admittedly, if you're listening to this show, you're likely somewhat sicko-brained about them, I feel like. And I mean, I'm me. It's just, it's weird. It's like I said, it's just one of those things where, like, I sometimes feel weird about it just because I'm like, oh, I know this design didn't get a good showing in the show, but I think it's really cool. I have this with a lot of 00 and H designs in general. Like, well, I just like Ebikawa as a designer, right? And I like Yanase as a designer, and, you know. And that's just, like, but that's, like, separate from the shows themselves. It just ends up in this weird space. It just ends up in a weird space. Also, you know, I'm a model person, right? I make fun of, like, how I don't like the Strike Freedom. I think the normal Freedom Gundam is fine overall, and I like the Freedom 2.0 model enough that I own a copy of it, and I have the, you know, the real type colors of it, but I have that because I just think the model looks good, you know, and that's a show I don't like very much. And a design that I'm mostly okay on. I just like robots. Sorry, look, I get navel-gazy about this because I'm like, oh, how weird am I for the way I go about liking these things? But, like, these are good examples, too. I liked all the robots we covered today. All of them are one-episode wonders. They're, like, a thing that appears in the background. They're nothing. Like, to a normal person, they probably... Most people who watch Age will probably remember the Desperado, but they won't remember the other two we covered.
there's no way they're going to mention the 3D.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a literal unanimated background suit. And yet, when we went over it just now, I'm like, oh, this is the coolest looking one of the three.
Yeah, it's definitely the best one.
I don't know. I just, look, I think about it. I get weird and navel-gazy about my like of the art of mechanical design. But, yeah. Hey, we still got an hour out of this episode.
Yeah.
So that's not bad. Six.
Hi.
Where can people find you and your work online?
You can find me on Twitter and co-host at SixDetmar, SIXDETTMAR. My, you know, DMs are open for any questions, comments, listener requests, any of that sort of thing.
Give us more requests. Gundam or otherwise, honestly. I'm always okay with them.
Yeah. I am always down for more requests. The only thing is, yeah, like, listen, the ultimate thing, and I'm not asking this of you, but, like, if you were to do this, it'd be really cool if you were like, and here's the reference material. That would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. That would help you move up the list because that makes it easier.
Yeah. Still remembering when we had that plan to do, like, the, this was an older one with Grant when we did the Escaflowne episode, and I was just like, well, fuck. I started going through Escaflowne because now, you know what sucks is now there are books for all of those online made available since we did that Mechanista. I mean, I found all the designs that we talked about basically in the episodes, but I do think it's very funny that, like, in relatively recent years, there's now a lot more Escaflowne books online than there were when we happened to do that episode. Because, yeah, let's see, I got Escaflowne TV series, Sunrise Artworks, 6/13/2023. And I also got the Memory of Gaia book, or Gaia book, that same day. It's just funny to me that, like, it's just after the episode. Sometimes reference material is hard to come by. It depends on the show, you know. Gundam is very, very easy. It's very rare that anything in Gundam has, like, no images of it online at all, or any kind of reference material that can't just be searched really easily. But, like, other things, I mean, even things as big as Macross don't always, I mean, there's the Macross Mecha Manual, which is a pretty good website, has a lot of art, so that one's good for that art. And I guess that if we ever do Macross stuff, which we still owe a Valkyrie episode, we'll probably use that just because very good website. It's set up very similar to MAHQ. Trying to think of another show. I guess, like, Pat Labor would actually be a better example, right? Like, Pat Labor has multiple shows and movies and OVAs. Still not easy to find, like, quick reference material, especially if you're not familiar with the source.
You know, let's make May our month of paying our freaking debts.
Yeah, we can do that.
We need to do an episode on the VF1 Valkyrie. We have the one on Warframes, and we also need to do Kamen Rider Fies.
Oh, we got.
Is how you pronounce that?
Oh, yeah. Wait.
We rolled that one a million years ago.
Oh, no.
A million years ago.
I didn't know. I forgot.
I think we rolled it like two episodes after the Valkyrie, and we were like, damn it.
Right. Yeah, we should do that.
No, we have debts to pay. Yeah.
You feel bad. Anyway, yeah.
I mean, honestly, we should feel bad. We should have done that by now.
Look.
But May will be the month of fixing these things. We will get it done.
Who requested the Valkyrie?
The Valkyrie was requested by Vi.
Okay. Vi still does request, I'm pretty sure, so.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And then FaZe is a request from Mel, and Mel's, I think, had some other requests. Oh, no, don't tell me I'm wrong. No, yeah, Mel's had other requests.
Okay. Have we driven away the requesters was why I was saying that. I was like, oh, no. Have we fucked up? No. No, that's fine.
It looks like by my records here, which are imperfect, I will grant you, but I think Mel has gotten two requests through. No, three. Okay, you know... So, Mel's requested the Reborn's Gundam, Kamen Rider Vulcan, and Balam Garden. So, it looks like you're having fun. I'm glad to see that.
Yeah. Alright, I am glad that all the request people still listen. I was like, oh no, have we driven them away by ignoring the request?
Well, I don't know if they still listen, but it certainly doesn't seem like the original failure kicked them off.
Look,
I don't know.
Look, it's fine.
Betrayal wears at the soul.
Well, we'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it in May. All right. I guess I should do my plugs. Low Poly Robot at Twitter, Low Poly Robot on co-host. Online's made me sad. I'm mostly just retreating into my hole playing Dragon Quest Builders. Again. I played it, like, last year when I had, the fancy PS Plus plan because they gave me a coupon for it and, you know, I got a bunch of free games out of it. And I was like, okay, I'll try all these. And I'm not planning on paying for that again. And I was like, fuck, I do want to play Dragon Quest Builders. So I legally obtained a PC copy of it. And been playing through it again.
I hope you've played 2, though, right?
2 is the one I'm playing. I haven't played 1 ever.
Okay. I played the 1 port came out on PC earlier this year.
Uh-huh.
And it's all right. But, like, 2 is where
it's at.
Well,
I was going to say, I assume if you play 2, then 1 is going to be, like, a little... I mean, it's a game that is very iterative, I imagine. So, like, if you play 1, mm-hmm. it's going to be like, oh, here are all these things I am missing from the sequel, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Meanwhile, right now, on the PC version of it, I just got done with the Moonbrook area and doing, like, building the castle and all that on the Isle of Awakening. So I'm near the end again. But that's the thing, right? When you're in the post game, that's when things really open. Because then I can go like, I want to make each area cool in their own way. You know, like I'm working on. Technically I can move on the story, but because everything is now in like a state of flux, I'm like, okay, time to stop everything and just build more to the castle. Like I finished making the cafeteria and the dining room last night and all that, and I was like, okay, cool. You know, and it's just, it's fun to make things, and, like, especially for me, like, while I have enjoyed building games like Minecraft and Terraria and whatnot before, I like that this game has enough, it's easier for me to set goals in Dragon Quest Builders, I guess, right? Like, oh.
Well, also, even open worldy, they set goals for you.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, you know, it has a story mode, it has a story in general, and, like...
With good writing.
Yeah, and people are like, hey, I want you to build, you know, can you build, like, a kitchen for us, or can you build... It's the same thing I enjoy about Happy Home Designer, which is a game that I feel like a lot of people did not like on the 3DS, but I actually really like Happy Home Designer, the Animal Crossing spinoff, because it turns out getting a request to make a thing, and then trying to make it work, is fun. I like that. You know, and you can still be creative while doing that, but it's not, like, completely freeform. Mm-hmm. And I do enjoy that with it, you know. The only time I get annoyed is when I'm like, wait, I've done everything it says to make this room. Why is it not activated this room? Oh, I have too many pots in this room, and so it's being overwritten by another room type. But I mean, yeah. That's going to be fiddly in general. I understand, like, why, in terms of making a thing, why that would be really hard. Because, you know, there's a lot of factors at play. There are many objects in this game, and also, the PC version by default has all the DLC, so there's stuff I'm not used to. It also means I got to change my hair out of the pigtails I don't like very much. Very quick. Well, because
I wonder
you don't unlock the hair until you beat the game. Normally.
Oh, I had DLC from the start.
So. Yeah, the PC versions have all the DLC, so you get like the wavy locks and a couple other hairs like early.
Well, I got it on the Switch. I just bought the DLC. So I was like, yes, I like this game.
That's fair.
I wonder if maybe the Switch 2, maybe they're holding out for the Switch 2, because there are, like, you can make that game on Switch struggle. They would probably like more processing power.
Yeah, I'm really hoping they do a third one, because it's, I mean, the second game did well, and it's a good game. I would like more.
Yeah, it's, some might say it's one of the best games on the Switch.
Funnily, I mean, hell, speaking on Dragon Quest, with me being Dragon Quest pilled, they just made a new Monsters game, which everyone really likes, and that makes me happy, because I love the Monsters games. They're some of my favorite Dragon Quest spinoffs. Part of that is because that's how I was introduced to Dragon Quest. I had Dragon Warrior Monsters 2 for the Game Boy Color back in the day, and I was like, oh, this is so cool. And then I found out, oh, there's like a whole series. This is like a spinoff. There's like a whole other thing for Dragon Quest, I found out later on. Specifically because of Dragon Quest 8 for the PS2 being kind of heavily pushed in magazines I had at the time. And I was like, oh, hey, I know the slime. That's like the little guy that you can get in Dragon Quest Monsters. And then I was very disappointed to find out that in Dragon Quest 8, I was like, oh, wait, you have a party? But I like having the monsters. Now I'm Dragon Quest filled and I like the normal games too. But when I was young, it was very funny that I was like, no, I want more monster collecting games. I don't want to play as a person. I want creature.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they just made a new one of those on Switch, the Dark Prince, and I want to play it. It looks like it's good. What is it? Is it only on Switch? Let me see. Dragon Quest Monsters, The Dark Prince is, yeah, right now it's currently only on Switch. Okay. I'm sure it'll probably get other versions.
It'll probably get something.
Well, it's just like how Dragon Quest Builders also, you know, delayed with getting stuff, and and they always do like later versions. That's also when I played Dragon Quest 11 last year as well, which is what kind of kicked me off on my weird Dragon Quest kick lately, is playing Dragon Quest 11 because I got it for free.
I need to go back to that game.
I liked it. It's a little too long. Is my only real complaint. Like, as a game, I enjoyed it. I think it's... And that's a funny complaint, because I'm normally, like, the person who doesn't mind a game being 40 to 60 hours. It's not a 40 to 60-hour game, though. That is, like, a 110-hour game.
Well, and I just got off of... I finished FF7 Rebirth last night, and that's just...
That's the another one everyone has said is way too long. Yeah. Well, I had that with... So, Dragon Quest VII is the most recent, like, mainline one I had played and finished. I'm technically going through 8 on the 3DS right now as well. But I played through the 7 3DS remake, which I liked a lot, but it's a fucking long game. Like, I didn't do every single thing in it. I think it took me, like, 70 hours or something, and I was like, this is a... And apparently the 3DS game actually cuts down the time. The 3DS game actually somehow, like, removes some of, the, like, the tedium, and also it loads faster and whatnot. Dragon Quest VII, yeah, okay, so according to how long to beat, which I always think how long to beat runs high.
Generally, yeah.
But the 3DS version, they have 74 hours for the main story, 92 hours for main and extras, and 128 for completionist. For the PlayStation, it's 109 hours, 130 hours for main story and extras, and 297 hours for completionist.
Good lord.
It's just always been a long game. And it's funny because I assumed it was a PS1 game, so I was like, oh, Dragon Quest VII won't be that long, right? And then it's like, no, not only is it one of the longest Dragon Quest games, it's also, I'm playing the shortened version of it, and it's still a little bit long. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it, though. It's a good game. You know, they're good RPGs. They're just, you know, they're not like, I don't think they're ever groundbreaking or anything, but there's a reason the series has had the longevity it has and why so many people play them. It is a fun RPG to play.
I mean, it's the same thing as, like, you know, Tomino helped work on a lot of those games with art design.
Or
and
Toriyama.
It's the same thing about Toriyama. And it's the same thing with a lot of Toriyama's work, right? Where it's like, are these ideas no one's ever had before? No, he's just executing them better than everybody else.
Yeah. You know? Like, usually the stories are, like, stories have a lot of similar beats going on with them with the ones I've played so far. But they're fun, you know? Sometimes there's a couple of jokes that age badly, but I mean, if I'm playing an old JRPG, I know that's gonna happen. That's just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Can't play Final Fantasy VIII without getting reminded of the transphobic joke at the bar. Like, that is, you know, even my favorite examples of various games do this. It's just an unfortunate thing that is true of the work. I can't make the work not do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Which isn't to say it's good to ignore, but, you know, it's just it's just an acknowledgement of what you are going to see when you get into it. All right. Anyway, sorry for the long ramble.
We've gone through about 50 different transitions I could have used, and I'm too tired anymore, so I'm just gonna say, once it loads on the Jamboard, my screenshot, because this is my new method, the ones who are really strong are strong in here.
Points to heart. In the age. The Gundam
Wait.
Age.
You suck.
Hey, you got